This is the 2008 Labor Day Conference given in Columbus, Ohio. This is message 4 given by Titus Chu on August 31st, 2008.
Tonight, we're coming to the hard part. Actually, this is a reason I don't want to touch Joshua. Because you realize in the New Testament, the most profound book is Ephesians. Then in the Old Testament, the most profound book is Joshua. It's hard for you to understand how can this book to be that profound. Because these two match. The Old Testament, Joshua, matches the New Testament, Ephesians. Ephesians is very strong. God is after an inheritance. Am I right? And the Old Testament is very strong. God is after a piece of good land. In the New Testament, Ephesians is very strong. We're not wrestling against the principality and power and rulers of the world. In the Old Testament, in Joshua, we are wrestling against the seven tribes who represents the heavenly evil sources. So you see, these two books are very easy to match one another. I heard Nigel had a good time with you brothers, with some of you brothers, on Ephesians. Praise the Lord for that. I've shared with Nigel. I said, do you mind do an expository on Ephesians? I'm a little bit tired of his snacks. He could give us some formal dish. Am I right? Why didn't you say amen? I say, you're not tired of his snacks, but you also want a formal dish. Am I right? Amen. Okay. So, Nigel, what you do, they agree, and they want you to do more. You know, brother, this is marvelous. You know, Ephesians, you know, here tonight we start with the book of Ephesians. Ephesians, it says, the triune God has an eternal purpose. And that purpose is focused on that he should gain an inheritance. And this inheritance will become glorious to him. In other words, this inheritance matches his glory, matches who he is, matches what his heart desire, and become his expression. You know, brother, you have to be somewhat impressed that in the New Testament, there is such a sweet book. Oh, I heard you have a real good lunch. I heard the chicken tastes so good, and I heard the bean tastes so good. Am I right? I heard that you can hardly have some bean taste that good. That bean will brought you back next year. But whatever that is, brother, whatever that is, if you read these verses, let me tell you, earthly, you get a good piece of chicken. Heavenly, God says, I want to make myself your inheritance. And in turn, I want to make you my inheritance. I want to be totally matching you. In turn, I want you to be 100% matches who I am. I'm glorious. But I need a counterpart, an abode, to express my glory. This is why Ephesians chapter 1, in the beginning, talk about how God the Father has planned, how God the Son has done the redemption, and God the Spirit become the surety of our inheritance. So start with chapter 1, verse 9. Let's talk about God the Son. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will. In other words, not pick up a knife. Go out and slaughter. That's Joshua, right? No, it's more than that. You have to realize that the Lord desires to make known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself. Oh, that was good. Just here, we should spend a lot of time. Do you ever realize in the Bible. There's such a simple verse, right? This verse, he says, he made known to us unto the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which has purpose in himself. In himself, he has a purpose. And this purpose is his good pleasure. In other words, every time you touch his purpose, he's so, so very happy. I walk in, I found out just across the hallway, that's a toddler. So quickly I look around, where's my grandson? You know why? That's my pleasure. I just began to take a rest. My daughter ran me. That's always happened. So almost I was telling myself, don't go to sleep. If you close your eyes, the phone's going to ring. Anyway, she says, do you like to see your granddaughter? Do you like to see your grandson? I tell you, usually I answer the phone politely. I wouldn't tell them. And sometimes they say, did I bother you? Why you ask? If you know bother me, you don't call, right? You call, you know, right? But I always answer, no, it's okay, because a servant of the Lord must learn this virtue. At midnight, at 2 o'clock, anyone can call you for anything. You have no right to turn off your cell phone except it is in the meetings. In the meeting, of course, you don't want to bother others, right? Then he said, I'm very happy to hear my daughter's voice. So I quickly said, can you bring my granddaughter, my grandson, come to my room and I can hug them? Well, why? There's something in my heart. That is my pleasure. When I see my grandchildren, I'm so satisfied. Am I right? Even though Rex refused to change their last name to Chu, that is a little bit disappointing. At least change one, right? So one is Anna Beck, another Andrew Chu. Or one is Anna Chu, another Andrew Beck. You say, why? I say, because that's my heart pleasure. When I see them, I'm so, so satisfied. I tell you, brother, there's no existence, no living, no pursuing, no labor, no struggling higher than the total satisfaction to the heart of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, we see him, he said, you have pleasure. Your pleasure is rock music, and your pleasure is violin, and your pleasure is piano, or your pleasure is being a scholar, or your pleasure is being a naughty boy, your pleasure is being whatever. But do you know, whatever your pleasure is, that is temporary. I have an eternal pleasure. Amen. The pleasure that can bring us on to eternity. And in eternity, we will still be that pleasure. Amen. There's no time the Father gets tired of the Son. Do you get my point? There's no time our Lord will get tired of us. Every time we're in His presence, He is so happy. But that's only you. He says, no, it's not just one of you, but you all together become my pleasure. This is what I purpose in myself. For what? I just read you King James. Actually, it's okay. Either economy or dispensing of fullness time. He had up all things in Christ. This is passion. You know, he sees you. He has a pleasure. You know, brother, what makes him not that happy? You just think about it. He cannot head you up. Do you get it or not? In other words, let me tell you, Lord can conquer, can create the heaven and earth, right? Lord can create man, right? Lord can conquer whatever's obstacle, frustrating to his economy and way. But he cannot conquer you. Did you realize that? You are always a frustration to him. Am I right? Brother frustration? Am I right or not? No, you're a gentleman. Maybe I shouldn't say that. Did I offend you?
No.
No. But you are frustration too, right? Young brother, you don't laugh at him. You are a brother frustration too. Who call you brother frustration? Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, every time we go to him, he says, oh, every time the Lord look at us, I love you all, I care for you all, oh, you are my satisfaction. The only thing is, for some reason, everyone is my frustration. Frustrated in what? Because you do not want me to head you up. Oh, head up's not easy. Head up is more than a replacement. Head up is something stronger than merely a replacement. You know, we have this kind of song, right? Lord, you died for me, therefore I like to live for you. Right? Don't you even have this prayer? Lord, you died for me, therefore I give my life to you. Right? But that's still not head up. That is only the beginning in changing of the position, ready for the Lord to head you up. Then take you lifelong to come into that reality. I better not minister because these are so rich. But the Lord desires to head up us all in himself, both which is in heaven and which are on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, or in him we become his inheritance. We're destined according to the purpose, he who works all things after counsel of his own will. He wants to head us up so he can inherit us. You know, brother, even in my dream, I like to be inherited by the Lord. So I come to the Lord. Lord, I love you so much. I give all what I have to you. Lord says, let me check what do you have. Oh, you should have a lot of things I cannot take. You know what I mean? Then you say, I burn them all. He said, but I cannot take you. He said, you want me. You bought me. Why do you say you cannot take me? He said, I love you. I care for you. I lead you. I work with you. But remember, I desire you are so one with me. Not only you are in what? In union with me. You are even in cooperation with me. You are so one with me who I am constituted in you. And who you are become my constitution. Then there's a good match. Do you get my point or not? You can become my inheritance. Then after that, in verse 18, the same thing I think mentioned again, that your eye of your understanding being enlightened, you should see something, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. He called you. And what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? You need to have a vision. You know, brother, many times we're funny people. You are a full-timer for 1 year, right? I wouldn't call full-timer, a learner for 1 year, right? Or you're wasting 1 year time, am I right? You don't know how to answer, huh? So, are you taking care of someone?
Yes.
Well, you're pretty pure. You take care of someone. Is that yours?
I don't know.
Oh, I tell you. Let me tell you the secret of elders. Elders watch their sheep and make sure nobody can steal them away. He owns everything. Do you realize? And the co-workers, even worse. So, if you don't have mercy, don't be a coworker. But if you have mercy, you got to be a coworker. Why? Because you get more constitution. But eventually, you see, Paul says, the eyes of your understanding should be enlightened. And then you will see something. Oh, what a great inheritance. My eyes are opened. When I see 2,000 years. When I see all the regenerated ones, when I see all the saints raised up by God, when I see all those who followed Christ, when I see all those declared, wherever the Lamb goes, we follow. When I see local churches from this city to that city to that city, from local churches from one continent to another continent to another continent, oh, my eyes are opened. I begin to say, wow, how glorious is this rich inheritance. Do you get my point or not? Something so glorious. I tell you, this glory on this whole earth, nobody has. Either McCain or Obama got elected, become the president, right? And that was glorious, right? But that is not what he says here, the riches of the glory. Do you get my point or not? There's no riches. It's only 4-year term. If you're lucky enough, 8-year term. In that year, 8 years, he will be abused, will be attacked, will be named, will be scored at, will be blamed. Am I right? And he has learned to stick as, I am the president of the United States. Isn't that stupid? But God did something. God says, I am glorious. And what I want to get is glorious. Amen. But not merely glorious, but with riches of my glory. From every dimension, from every angle, from every place, all over, you look at God's masterpiece, the church, his body. You have to say, wow, glory! Amen. Isn't that marvelous? Amen. So this is God's desire. But to accomplish such a desire, there is a strong fight. This is why Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11, 12 says, he said, now you have put on the whole armor of God. Amen. You know, whole armor of God means put on practically all the church life. That's a whole armor. Don't say, Lord Jesus is my armor. I tell you, you cannot divide Lord Jesus with his body. His body and Jesus is one entity. But this doesn't mean they're four in one. Do you get my point? There's one entity. In this one entity, we can put on Christ. Where we put on Christ, we put on the body of Christ. Where we put on body of Christ, we put on the saints. We put on the church. Every local church need to put on other local churches. Every saints need to put on other saints. And all together, we need to put on Christ. That is called the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the will or stratagem of the devil. The devil's skill you are able to stand. Why? For we wrestle, or we fight. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, which is easy. Am I right? Just get a gold medal wrestler. Come beat us everyone, beat us all up. But we're not against this kind of flesh and blood. What? We are against the principalities, against the powers. Or you can say, we're against the rulers, we're against the authorities. Principalities are the rulers. Do you know? There is a banana. But republic, is it? Republic banana? Yeah, there is. There is a banana republic. In the heavens, not in the heavenlies, in the air, there's also a banana republic. That one plays the strain of the real banana republic we see. Who is the owner? Satan is the owner. We like Walmart. I don't think you like Walmart now. You may like Target more. But I don't think you like Target so much now. You may like, used to be very popular, it's going to be gone, a ghost chasing something called Polo, Lorraine or something. Yeah, Ralph Lauren. I tell you, do you realize? There's office in the air, controls all these offices. They all were under a certain kind of evil spirit control. So when you jump in, you walk right with Satan. You got to be very wise. You still have to live, right? So there's nothing wrong to walk into Banana Republic. Just don't become a banana. Am I right? Still have a sober mind. Still very clear. Still are in Lord's presence. Still purchase whatever you really need. Still buy things you know that is pleasing to Lord, because you know that you are taking a tour right into the rulers or the principalities of this earth. And more than that, there's also power. I mean, right here it says principality and powers. Powers, you can also translate authorities. You wrestle with them. Yeah, young lady, you are. Don't you go to... Lady, don't go Banana Republic. That's men's store, isn't it? Everybody. So you go there too, right? So which store you go? You don't shop much. Oh, so that the one in the air. No, the one in the air. The principality is going to talk with her. Power. Principality and power, right? In other words, the ruler is going to talk with authority. Says what? Hey, authority. You know that young lady? What's your name?
Rachel.
You know the young lady? I can't get him. I get a Republic, but he won't be a banana. Am I right? I get a Ralph Lauren, and he won't chase out the ghost. What have I do? I couldn't get him. Authority, you go do something. Oh, I'm not joking. So one day, your in-law come. Do you have any in-law? Remember, people are always by in-law in all kinds of ways. But anyway, so you don't have an in-law. You have some good friends. Don't say you don't have friends, then that's not good. Okay, so your good friend comes and says, oh, Richard, do you know that? There's a sale. You say, I'm not interested in shopping. No, I don't want you to shop. I want you to be with me to go to the shopping. Do you get my point or not? Because there's authority begin to work. The ruler begin to work. The authority begin to work. Authority work. Now you can go with me. I said, okay, I'll go with you to the shopping. And then he told you, isn't that cheap? Look at the beautiful whatever. Right? And that is a 70% off. Don't give up this golden opportunity. You think about this, right? She says, I surrender all. I surrender all. I buy one. Do you get it or not? I tell you, it's not just that. After you bought it, something coming. You find out it's quite interesting. So next time, you don't need someone invite you now. You're going to write the paper, which store has 70% off. Or if you leave your name, they'll send a brochure to you. We'll have 70% off again. You begin to go by yourself. You don't even know what happened. You become, you call it a shopaholic? Huh? I'm not joking. One day, I want to get something for my granddaughter. When she was first born, this years, 4 or 5 years ago, I went to a place selling baby stuff. I see a man holding a baby, totally red. She read. I said, how old is he? He says, oh, he's very little, very little. I said, where's his mother? I says, his mother likes to do shopping. So he is now in shopping something for this baby. Later, I walked to the restroom. I found that he's changing diaper for the restroom. Changing diaper for the baby in the restroom. So I go to him again and say, sir, how old is he? Then he said, be honest with you, he's not yet 24 hours. I said, are you that bold? He said, this is our third kids, so we know how to handle it. He says, his mother is a... shopaholic, or whatever that is, right? In other words, she just delivered the baby. After delivering the baby, the first instinct is, let's go shopping! Brother, this is the world. And bring that baby. I saw that baby. I know something's wrong. Because how can the baby be that red? You know what? After a few days, you know, can turn to normal. It's all red. You know, after the second time I talked to him, he said, well, let me be very honest with you. He's not yet 24 hours. Then, of course, he saw my face. You know, I was very offended. I said, you know, you're not fair to the baby, right? You bring the baby in this kind of place. What is this, right? Then he quickly explained, this is a third one. We're very experienced. We know how to handle this. Brother, everyone is very experienced. First principality has all kind of franchise. Heaven, earth, air and earth work together. Don't think they're only a Walmart. there is also a branch called Walmart in the air, owned by Satan. Don't think only it's a banana republic. There is also a republic of banana owned by in the air by Satan. All carried by principalities. And if you don't follow them, the authority coming get you. Do you get my point or not? I tell you, something I give you. Ugh, I hate my watch. I like to spend a lot of time on these kind of things, but I can't. You know, if I say this, Cleveland Mayor Stoke, later become an uncle or broadcast uncle. Is that right? Is that what you say it? Anchor or something. Later become a judge in Cleveland. Judge in Cleveland. Then people caught him steal a bag of dog food. And when I was the news, right? Mayor Stoke stolen a bag of dog food. Everybody, okay. What? You have money to buy this, right? You were a mayor in Cleveland, right? And you were an anchor in a radio station or something in New York. Then you come back to be the judge. Amen. Then what caused you to do that kind of stealing? Do you get my point? I tell you what. There is authority. First, principality arranged all kinds of things for you. And wave beautifully. Beautifully. Come on. Love me. It's good for you. You need some relax. You need some entertainment. Come on. Then you say, no. I tell you, then the authority comes. He will find a way. Get your best friend, most close relatives, to bring you into something. You will never do it. But after that, you got hooked. So here he says, Christians, do you realize? You are not fighting with flesh and blood, which is much easier. But you are fighting with what? With principalities and powers. And against what? The rulers of darkness of this world. The whole cosmos is under the ruler of darkness. And right in the midst of the extremely darkness, God says, I want to raise up my treasure. I want to raise up my testimony. I want to raise up something that totally satisfies me. I want to raise up my inheritance. When I inherit them, I have no shame. When I inherit them, I have no fear. When I inherit them, I'm joyful. That become a victorious testimony of me. Amen. Wow, could you believe in this? Could you believe in this? Whole world is so dark. Look at CNN, how dark these guys are. But don't blame them. They are also under the principalities and powers. Right? Principality don't work, power comes. And God tell them, listen, the founder of Fox becomes spokesman of White House. So don't think Fox News is that good either, even though they're more balanced. Am I right? The founder of Fox just died recently. The founder of Fox becomes the spokesman of White House. So CNN get jealous. So I will do my best bribe Obama. Once he got elected, we will become the spokesman of White House. Isn't that stupid? But isn't that a clear sign? The whole world, there's no justice. But what? But under principality and power. Whole thing was there. Then we are not wrestling against flesh and blood. We're fighting with these kind of things. Right? Now, these are the spiritual weakness. We are fighting with this. For this reason, you have to put on the whole armor of God. Then you ask, how? I say, put on your local church life, put on the church's life, put on the body of Christ, put on Christ and the saints, love Jesus and love your brothers, give yourself to Jesus and give yourself to the brothers and sisters. When you are so much living alive in the body life, you have the proper covering and protection. And this is exactly what happened in Joshua. I have 40 minutes. I have to read to you very fast. Now we finally come to Joshua. And we finally come to some speaking, which is interesting, chapter 1. Of course, before Moses died, he has appointed Joshua to be his heir, or to follow him, to take his place. But Joshua didn't do a thing. Until what? Until chapter 1, verse 1. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it come to pass. Now, I like this. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord. Hey, sister, I'm 72. I like to live as my dad, 100 years old, right? But only the Lord knows. Whatever that is, if the Lord come back late, most likely I'll go before you, right? But if you say, oh, that Titus, it's not good. If you say, oh, Titus, true, a servant of the Lord. Can you do that? Could you remember that? Tell your son, your daughter, or your grandchildren, Titus, true, is a servant of the Lord. Oh, this is sweet. Isn't it sweet? God began to say, Moses is not a man. Moses is not a common man. Moses is not a vessel I use only. I tell you, who's Moses? Moses is a servant of the Lord. Then what? The Lord speak unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, or Moses' attendant. In other words, he's serving Moses, right? Saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now you must follow his ministry. No, you must stand up, fight according to that burden. Do you get my point? It's not something dead. It's something very alive. He said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise! Amen. Go over the Jordan. Amen. You have to believe, huh? Try to believe what I say. I don't know how many years. They were right in the border of Jordan. This on this side, another on the other side. I think Joshua many times stood there, look at the side. I don't think the river will be that wide. And I have a feeling, we got to go over and take it because this is good land. God has promised us. Amen. Right? Then he go to Moses. Moses, we are ready. Moses, let's pray. Then another time he gets so stirred up. We are Moses, master. We are ready. And Moses, let's pray. I tell you, Joshua is really a spiritual man. No murmur, no complaint. No trying to do something else. No, I'll find my way. Purely, he says, I'm one with God's anointed Moses. I'm standing with him, right? Then now, God speak to Joshua now. Now, you have waited that long. Let me tell you now. Now, therefore, arise! Amen. Oh, I like this word. He must have waited for this word 30-some years. Remember? Close to 38 years ago, didn't he say that? Let's go! We can make it! Right? But all the Israelites, no, no, no. Right? And Moses, no. Even God come in. None of you can go in. Unless you all die in the wilderness. I judged. Only those who are under 20. Only those who are under 20. At that time, he will be, close to 60, right? And a group of young generation come up, we will go! All you girls out here, who are the boys? Is there any boy in your pursuit? Is there any boy? Or 20 girls? Huh? Their brother, where are they? You are one? Who else? You three? Oh. Bring your chair here. Sit here. You'll feel bothered, right? Brother. Here. God says something so good. Arise! I don't know. You didn't wait that long. Your problem with Joshua is just the same. just waiting to hear that word, arise, for 38 years. You have 8 years sleeping, and God says, arise. You say, oh, for what? I'm not joking. Josh is so clear. In 38 years, Moses has dispensed every part of his being into Joshua. So when Joshua arise, it's Moses arise plus Joshua's talents. Richer than that. Richer than Joshua. Do you get my point? If you're following a spiritual brother, yeah, the best is you totally receive what he can give to you, and then plus what you have. Do you get? You become a richer brother. Joshua can never go beyond Moses. That is a specially hand-picked vessel. Am I right? But Joshua says, I have all the things Moses has. Arise and go. So God speaks to him, arise, go over this Jordan, and all you, and all the people, and to the land which I do give to them, even what, to the children of Israel, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, and that have I given upon you, as I said unto Moses.
Amen.
Well, I tell you, he said this very simple, arise, and go, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. You're too good enough. Arise, come on, come on, come on. Walk, 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 walk. Oh, yeah, that's not so bad. Walk. No, you didn't take the whole thing. Walk, take the whole thing. Walk, take the whole thing. Take the whole thing. That's right. I tell you, wherever you step down, that place belongs to you.
Amen.
It's a land. It's also a spiritual reality. Thank you, you two are. Thank you. You know, brother, we are small people. I'd rather like to say we are warmer people. Warmer people. In other words, all what we concerned was what is cheap, what is better quality, how can we live a better life. We can get all what we need in Walmart. Walmart has advertisement. You can take your family, whole family there, spend whole Sunday. I look at Walmart, I say, you must be crazy. But whatever that is, God says something. Oh, your life. Come on, Tim. You're not Tim, but you're Tim, right?
No, Mark.
Mark, whatever. Your dad is Tim. Do you know how he developed? Do you know how he can develop? Do you know how much he will develop? Nobody knows, right? Today he's taller, a handsome, tall, young man. And with Miller's family virtue, that is the most virtual family I ever met in my life among, sorry, Caucasians. So nobody knows. Will he become a great apostle? Will he be great used by the Lord? Will he just become a common man? Work from 8 to 5? Will he become a servant, yet never developed? Or will he be developed to the extent even God says, I really need you for my satisfaction?
Amen.
Who knows? Who knows? But all based on today, how you walk. Do you get my point or not? If you walk in depth, if you walk with pioneering, if you walk with attitude, I want to take the land.
Amen.
Then, brother, let me tell you, Christ's unsearchable riches will be yours. Unsearchable riches will be your reality. And you will become his inheritance with glory.
Amen.
Am I right? Do you desire such a life?
Yeah. Amen.
What is your major?
Journalism.
Journalism. Oh. So what do you want to be?
No.
What do you want to be?
A servant of the Lord.
Look like he was going to be judged. What do you want to be?
A servant of the Lord.
Is that good? Then why didn't you do that before? What do you want to be?
A servant of the Lord.
Young man. Be more ambitious. A great servant of the Lord!
A great great servant of the Lord.
A rich servant of the Lord.
A rich servant of the Lord.
A life dispensing servant of the Lord.
A life dispensing servant of the Lord.
A laboring servant of the Lord.
A servant of the Lord.
Laboring.
A laboring servant of the Lord.
This is not good.
Amen.
This is not good.
Amen.
Here's a young man. How much he developed based on how far he wants to go. If today you are a negotiator, you know, you young people are all bright person. You negotiate, right? Lord, I'll give you Monday, but not Tuesday. I'll give you Wednesday, but not Thursday. And then your blessing will be Monday and Wednesday and not Tuesday and Thursday. In other words, Lord can only work with you that much. Because you refuse to say, I'm going to walk through the whole land. And while I walk through the whole land, every place, my footstep is on. That place belongs to me.
Amen.
This is spiritual. This is not material land alone. I want to explore Christ. Can you say that? I want to explore Christ.
I want to explore Christ.
I want to enjoy Christ.
I want to enjoy Christ.
I want to develop the Christ that is in me.
I want to develop the Christ that is in me.
I want to be in divine word.
I want to be in divine word.
I want to be in the divine presence.
I want to be in the divine presence.
I want to have a living Christ.
I want to have a living Christ.
I want him to be my government day by day.
I want him to be my government day by day.
In every instinct. In every situation, maybe.
In every instant, in every situation.
He must be my Lord.
He must be my Lord.
Amen.
Isn't that good?
Amen.
Isn't that good?
Amen.
You know our problem? Do you want to serve the Lord? Right? What says here? Every place, right? Could you read it?
Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you.
Amen.
As I said unto Moses.
No. Are you sure?
No.
Let me read to you. You read it. Let's read together.
Every place that the sole...
My eyes observed. You read it again.
Every place that
my eye observed.
Every place
that I think about it.
Every place that
I'm considering.
Every place that
I'm contemplating.
Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you.
Boy, your question is simple, right? Don't you have a mind?
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Sure.
Do you have an eye?
Mm-hmm.
Don't you see?
Mm-hmm.
Then why you let your foot do the work? You should let your mind do the work, right? Why should you let your foot do the work? But do you understand? It is actually when you really put your feet in some place. Then you can say, wow, I never realized my Christ is that marvelous. I never know my Christ can be so rich. I never know my Christ can be so faithful. I never know my Christ can be so exalted until I take a step to walk according to Christ. So the basic thought of this wrestling against the principalities and powers and the rulers of the world, the basic thought is walk. You walk. God says, rise up, go through the Jordan. Then he said, every place your feet, your soul step upon, that place is yours.
Amen.
Oh, I tell you, only God can make that promise. Your company gives you a good promise. I'll make you a project manager, right? Or I'll make you a manager. Or I will make you assistant manager. Where? 7-Eleven store. You know, brother, the world try their best to buy people, but they don't have much to offer. God has so much to offer, and offered with generosity, so generous. Now, come on, walk, wherever you walk, every place your soul step upon, that place is yours.
Amen.
Do you like this?
Amen.
I tell you, you won't. You forgive me to say a strong word. Sometimes I see some brothers, I always marvel at their stupidity. Brother, don't be offended. I was wondering, how come they're so stupid? There's the best things of Christ. There's the best things from Christ. There's best things. Christ is ready to give it to you. There's so much for you to enjoy. There's so much for you to experience. There's so much for you to trust unto. There's so much that God has given to you in Christ. Yet you were there so busy. Brother Titus, please pray for me. I said, pray for what? I will get my degree that I'm looking. I send off 150 recipe. I sent out 150 resume already, and so far not one people take me, and because my status has problems, because what? I usually answer, I say, brother, I have no burden to pray for you. This is why, you know, in the last years, nobody come ask me pray for them. Because I will tell them, I have no burden to pray for you. If I pray for you, I'll pray that you love the Lord. I'll pray for you. Love the church. I'll pray that you consecrate yourself. I'll pray that you give your life to Jesus Christ and nothing else. I'll pray that you tell the Lord, I'm going to wrestle with evil power for your kingdom's sake.
Amen.
How glorious is such a life?
Amen.
Am I right? Isn't that marvelous? Isn't that much better than I don't have a job? Or I have a job. What's the difference? Every day there will be thousands of people didn't have lost his job or couldn't find a job. There will always also be thousands or tens of thousands of people get a job until they get bored at it and they quit their job, looking for another job. I tell you, brother, I love Lord Jesus. From 1954 to now, how many years? 54 years. Am I right? I love Lord Jesus 54 years. There's not one period of time I feel boring. Everything on this globe can be boring, right? But I love the Lord 50-some years. I still have to say, Lord Jesus, you are so sweet. You are so precious. You are so unsearchable. I cannot measure the wisdom you have. I cannot understand the measuring hand from the wisdom above. But I can trust in you. I know you are with me. What a life.
Amen.
Brother, what a life. This is why I could be in all kinds of turmoils. But I'm happy. It doesn't mean I don't have tears. A situation come. I do have tears.
Amen.
But within me, there's a feeling. Trust in the one who you have entrusted with your life.
Amen.
He's there. Brother, Lord's word from the beginning is so much challenge. Rise up. Wherever you step on, that place is yours. Then, verse 5. God has give him 4 encouragement. Number 1. There shall not any man be able to stand before you all the days of your life. One day is okay. Some people can stand you on one incident, on one day, even a few days. But remember, all the days together, no one can stand against you. There will be no man able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, I will be with you.
Amen.
Wow, how glorious that is. Am I right? And more than that, he said you really can rest. He said, I will be with you, right? I will not fail you and not forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. Don't you like it? Why your Christian life is so boring? Actually, why your whole life is so boring? Because you never see God's needed glorious inheritance. And we are his inheritance. And our existence is fighting to accomplish the heart desire of God.
Amen.
If you see this, you will say, wow, I'm so happy. Why? That God will not fail me. God will not forsake me, and I can be strong and of good courage.
Amen.
Am I right?
Amen.
Do you like it? You're Mark or what?
Mark.
Tim Jr. is good, but I don't change your name, right? I tell you,
It's hard. Huh? What?
His brother.
Oh, your brother's Tim Jr. Oh. You're the number one, right? How come number two become a junior? But anyway, Mark, that's okay. Where's your brother? Are you see here? Young brother, could I apologize to you? One day I said, brother, why you are from Hua Huan Kan School? That's a very good school. I said, why don't you go to an Ivy League? Brother, oh, I tell you, just that one statement. After I get home, the Lord rebuked me so much. How come you become Judas? How come you betray the Lord? Why didn't you encourage the young brother to follow the Lord? Why should you consider Ivy League? What is Ivy League? Get poison ivy. Am I right? For what? Forget about it. You are here for Christ. You are here for the church. This is why, even now in my heart, I owe you a dinner. But so far, sorry, I just couldn't have time. If I have time, I will invite you and your honorable family out for dinner. Oh, brother, do you realize something can be so, so glorious? So Lord says, be strong and of a good courage. For unto these people shall they divide for inheritance the land. In other words, this land is your inheritance. And this land is God's inheritance. God wants to inherit this land. So then, on which I swear unto their father to give to them. Only what? Be thou strong and very courageous. You see how many times God repeat this. Be strong and be of good courage. Be strong and very courageous. Be strong and very courageous. Why? Why? He said, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded, and turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper whithersoever you go. The book of law shall not depart out of your mouth. In other words, not only I ask you to be strong, I'm with you. Not only I ask you to be strong, I give you comfort. I defend you. You can rest in me. I also tell you, I give you my word. The law today is the Bible. Amen. I give you my word. Now you have my word. When you have my word, abide in my word, you can rise up and take the land. Isn't that marvelous? Praise the Lord for this. And more than that, then the ninth point. Have not I commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Seems God is very worried that Joshua, for 38 years you were ready to say, we can make it. No, it comes. All of a sudden, I think Joshua think, if Moses can make it, how can I make it? If Moses is so careful, how can I be bold? If Moses calculate the whole thing, realize it doesn't work, how can I work? Do you get my point? So God has keep on telling him, don't abide on the morning of Moses. He's my servant. I love him. I respect him. But you must come out of the shadow of him. Amen. You must be strong and of good courage and go your way. Amen. Isn't that marvelous? Amen. Isn't that marvelous? Shouldn't you say, Lord, we praise you. We praise you for your servant Moses. And we praise you more that we can serve you afresh. Be strong and of a good courage. Be strong and good courage. But be not afraid. Neither be you dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you whithersoever you go. In other words, I will lead you. I will lead you to wherever you are. Now, number one, he said, I'll be with you. Number two, he says, you can rest in me. Number three says, I give you my word. Number four says, I will lead you all your life. Amen. There's so many things you worry, right? Mark, do you worry? I worry a little bit for you too. You know why? You are such a sober, fine, nice, hopeful brother. Tim Jr., same with you. Then, I tell you, but you do worry, right? If I want to serve the Lord, who's going to marry me? Do you worry about that? Yeah, you see? He's honest. If I'm going to serve the Lord, would I ever be able to buy a house? Yeah. If I will serve the Lord, should I always drive a certain car? Right? Could you give me a brand that is most economic? Yeah. Kia. Oh, I will drive. I will drive a Kia all my life. Would you think that way? If I will serve the Lord, I will be pressured as my dad. Your dad is very pressured. So many things he's handling. Actually, I'm surprised, amazed how much he can handle. Am I right? You worry, right? Do you? Here, Lord says, I'm with you. And you can rest in me. And my word is with you. And I will lead you. I will first lead a good sister to you. And lead you to a good sister. And I'll lead you to the right house. You know, brother, I don't know. I come to a burden. I don't want to cover. What should I do? Keep the way going. I only have 10 minutes left. You know, brother, you want me to tell you my house? We all moved to Akron. That's my first house. We all moved to Akron. And we all look at the house together. And everyone, the realtor show us many houses. And there's about 15 people, 20 people look at the houses together. We walk in the house. One brother says, I need it. I want it. He bought it. Another house. I need it. I want it. So until all the houses were bought. And I begin to consider, now they all have house, but I don't have one. Right? So I said, Lord Jesus, you better give me a house. My criteria is very simple. Number one, it got to be beside the meeting hall. Is that logical? And number two, it must be two floors with three bedrooms. You know why? Because my wife sometimes doesn't handle things all that clear. So at least downstairs should be clean so that brothers come, I can give some good, warm hospitality. Upstairs, we can mess up. Why three bedrooms? Because one is for us, me and my wife, one is for my son, another one is for my study, right? And third thing I said, Lord Jesus, the house better not in the corner. It's set back a little so that it's not too noisy. Is that logical? Because I'm a servant of the Lord. I need to rest. Am I right? Then I said, Lord Jesus, the front yard's okay, but the backyard got to be very small. Why? Because I cannot mow the lawn. Because I don't know how to do it, right? But I like to have a small backyard because I found every Americans grow potato. Tomato. Every American grow tomatoes. So I also need to grow a few tomatoes because I'm right in the midst with all the Americans, right? Praise the Lord. So that's very logical, right? So I say, Lord Jesus, another thing that, Lord, you know that I don't know how to repair the house. I know. So the house got to be pretty new. Right? Decent, not new. Pretty decent. In other words, I walk in, the carpet is good, the wall is good. Otherwise, I don't know how to do this kind of stuff, right? I'm not Dave Bixler, right? And then I pray one more thing. I say, Lord Jesus, finally, I don't have money. But I do know, not I don't have money, I do know I have a couple thousand dollars from the retirement where I work in university. In university, you are a teacher. So they have their, not Social Security, they have their own program. But I worked there only 3 years, so I'm not qualified to keep the money there. I know it's coming. So I said, Lord Jesus, I don't have money, and I don't know how much I have. So please provide the house to me. After I pray, I feel very restful, because every part is for Lord's interest, not for my interest. Not so long, a realtor called me. Mr. Chu, your God has prepared a house for you. Could you believe in that? So I says,
where is it located? Right beside your meeting hall. I said, Lord Jesus, it's coming. I said, is it good condition? He said, the house was just caught on fire. This is why insurance company has, you know, repainted and recarpeted the whole thing. It's very good shape. I said, how many bedrooms? Three, but it's two stories. Isn't that what I want? Three, but it's two stories. I said, Lord Jesus. I said, wow, it's coming. Thank you, Lord. Then I said, what else? He said, but it has a big disadvantage. I said, what? Your backyard's very small. Could you believe in that? You know why my backyard is very small? The small street across is a big street called Copley or something. And the people develop apartments. So they bought a piece of land from this house and extend their apartment so more units can be built for rent. That's why only a small backyard left. Oh, I can't believe it. Then I said, how much money that is? He said, $12,000. Well, I put down the phone. I said, God, I better not pray too much. I don't know you're that alive. Now, when you play with him, he play with you. When you are so real to him, he's very realistic to you. Then you can ready to fight. I tell you, surprisingly, just in a week or so, I got a check, $2,000. Actually, that amount, I didn't know how much was that. I guess it's just a return of your deposit for that retirement. Now it's yours. I think about $2,000 cannot buy a $12,000 house. So I called back. I said, I have $2,000. Can you negotiate to $10,000? Then 20% down, right? So the realtor is very good. And so they call back, says, the owner's happy to sell the house to you. Oh, I tell you all, every day I live in miracle. Do you realize what? When you move in, that's a miracle, right? Every day you live in miracle. You look at the carpet, that's a miracle. You look at the wall, that's a miracle. You look at the backyard, that's a miracle. Am I right? And you look at everything. You have to say, Lord, I could not believe you are that trustworthy. When I says, I want to take the land, and Lord says, be strong and be of good courage. I am with you. Amen. Isn't that marvelous? Amen. Praise the Lord, huh? Then, the second thing, maybe we still have 5 minutes, huh? Verse 12. But there's one thing. You know, all in the good land, before they get into good land, 2.5 tribe, right? That is Reuben and what? How do you say that one? Gadites. And also half tribe of Manasseh, right? They feel, you know, in other words, the river is here. The river is here. Suppose here's a big sea, huh? Here's a river. Now, they see the good land here is very good. So these 2.5 tribes ask for this land. So now, they are going to go over Jordan into the good land. So, you see, these 2.5 tribes can say, well, we got our land already, right? So, no need for us to go. So, in this place, Moses says something to him. I feel very, very sweet, huh? Joshua says something. And to Reubenites and to Gadites and half a tribe of Manasseh speak Joshua, saying, remember the word which Moses, thy servant of the Lord, command you, saying, the Lord your God has given you rest and has given you this land. Amen. This land is given to us all. Then, in verse 14, let's begin with the second part. You shall pass before your burden. But now your wife and so forth, little ones, all can stay in the east side of Jordan. But as for yourself, now you what? He said, you shall pass before your brethren, armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them. I like this verse. You know, especially the local church people got to like this verse. Now, all of a sudden, Joshua says,
We are one unique testimony. Amen. Yes, we have 12 tribes, but one testimony. There's no tribe can say, we find our place. If we fight, let's fight it together. Amen. Do you get my point? Hey, I tell you another syndrome. You know what? It's a nest watching syndrome. Nest watching, you know. You tell him, God, no, we only have 50 people. We can't go out. We can't go away. Brother, you didn't realize. Actually, it is you go out, your brother will be alive.
Amen.
It's you stay, your brother's dead. Amen. You go out, fight with your brothers. Then the Lord will gain glory.
Amen.
It's surprising. You know, Joshua is very simple. We 12 tribes. If we fight, let's fight as one army.
Amen.
It doesn't matter who got his land. Whosoever the land you get, let's fight together for the Lord's testimony.
Amen.
Isn't that marvelous?
Amen.
And isn't that glorious? Praise the Lord for this. Huh? Then, until the Lord has given your brethren rest, as he has given you. You got the land already. And they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God given them. And you shall return unto the land of your possession. In other words, until they all get the land, you go home. Before that, lives fed together. Oh, I like this. Where are you from? Cleveland Heights.
Yeah.
Where are you from? Butler University. Where are you from? Well, forget about that. How about just talk about the church? Where are you from? Come on. Cleveland Heights, the church in Cleveland Heights, right? Now, hey, brother, where are you now? Come up, come up. Where are you now?
Cleveland.
Cleveland, come on, Cleveland. You are Cleveland too?
Yeah.
Oh, no. We need someone. Pittsburgh. Come on. Come on. Young Cleveland. Come on. Young Kalamazoo. Come on. Where are you from? Kalamazoo, one is enough. Where are you from?
Toledo.
Come on. Where are you from? Cleveland Heights. Okay. Where are you from? Oh, okay. Rick, you come. Detroit. Here's tribe one, Cleveland tribe. Tribe two, Cleveland High tribe. Tribe three, Pittsburgh tribe. Tribe four, Cleveland tribe. Okay. Tribe five, Kalamazoo tribe. Tribe six, Toledo tribe. Tribe seven, what? Detroit tribe. You know the problem? Everyone hold their little local church. Always count how many heads showed up on Lord's Day morning. Stupid to the uttermost. But we all like to do it. Am I right? Almost I like to tell brothers to ask how many people is a sin. But because that shows the improper tanxin. How do you say that?
Greedy.
Yeah, greedy. You're greedy. So you always ask. You know, brother, he has a nest. Sorry, it's not true. But as illustration, because he's one of the senior brother here, huh? And brother, he has a nest in Detroit. And he has a nest in Toledo. She has a nest in Kalamazoo. He has a nest with young people in Cleveland. He has a nest. It's a nest, is that right?
Nest.
He has a nest in Pittsburgh. He has a nest in Cleveland Heights. And he has a nest also in Cleveland, right?
Right.
Oh, brother, you kidding? How many people? Seven people, six nests. Another, let's fight! No way. Cleveland is for Cleveland. Detroit is for Detroit. Kalamazoo is for Kalamazoo. Toledo is for Toledo. Pittsburgh is for Pittsburgh. Cleveland Heights for Cleveland Heights. Cleveland Heights, brother, so generous. I invite you all come to our meeting. Very generous, right? And then he shouted the same. Me too. I invite you all come to Cleveland. All the young people say, should be done in Cleveland. We got the best facility. And she says, my voice is so beautiful. You better come to Kalamazoo to enjoy our singing. Amen. And he says, let me tell you, Detroit is a weighty church.
Right.
I'm not joking. When God says, let's go and fight, you know what's the biggest problem? Everyone care for where he is. Everyone care for his small groups, all the church meetings, all his localities, all the church nearby. Very few realize we are fighting to take the good land. Amen. We are God's inheritance with glory.
Amen.
How good that is. Rick, can you promise us travel at least once a month? Visit the churches.
Visit the churches.
All right. Sister, can you, are you in Cleveland now?
Cleveland Heights.
You Cleveland Heights. Oh, so you are in Cleveland Heights too.
Yes, sir.
Can you Cleveland Heights invite more brothers to visit you? In turn, you visit more brothers? Can you, brother from Cleveland, share with your zealousness in gospel? Let me tell you, you need to believe in Jesus. I knew him for years. Brother, isn't this the time for us to really be practically, nicely home at the church? Then what? Bear the testimony of the body of Christ.
Amen.
Isn't that marvelous? This is a, thank you, brothers and sisters. This is a principle Moses used. He told the two tribes, now, yes, you find your home, you find your land, but don't be for your locality alone. Now, rise up in fellowship with all the local churches or in fellowship with all other tribes fighting together to take the land.
Amen.
Is that marvelous?
Amen.
Well, may Lord have mercy. I tell you, huh? So tomorrow morning, we're going to have a hard time. But so what? So we don't finish it. Am I right?
Yeah,
you don't want to be too perfect. I think my fellowship stop here.